Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Todd Feinberg. Now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good afternoon. Let's get this show started. Michael Leibowitz is on hold, so we'll go to him first, then we'll take the phone calls who've been waiting. Thank you for your patience. Leibowitz from prison. What's going on, sir?
I guess you guys did jack up the volume on the waiting line after all, huh? Because I could hear you.
Oh, yeah? You can hear now?
Oh, it's beautiful, yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yes,
yeah, Anthony knew. He was keeping it private.
Yeah, Anthony really took care of that, huh?
Yeah. He's been under the table for days with all his little... He's got these tiny screwdrivers and stuff. It's great.
His millennial gadget.
Good job, Antonio. Leibowitz, what's on your mind?
Well, we hear an awful lot in the mainstream media about the inequality in the country, the inequality in wealth and the inequality of income. But I was thinking over the weekend how what we very rarely, if ever, hear about is the inequality of effort, the inequality of intelligence, and the inequality of contributions to the economy and to the country.
Do you think people should have worse lives if they're not as smart?
Say that again, Todd. I'm sorry.
Do you think people should have worse lives, like make less money, eat food that's less healthful, get less good educations, live in worse neighborhoods because they're not lucky enough to be born intelligent?
Well, the problem is we are born, of course, with an aptitude for intelligence, but in order to make it work, you actually have to put forth the effort. And I personally believe that anybody with an intact brain and an IQ over 100, which is average, if they were willing to work, could make a success of themselves in this country, although it's getting less and less so with the amount of taxes and regulation we have. But if you compare the contributions from people like Thomas Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, Henry Ford, or Steve Jobs and Bill Gates in our day to people like me, for instance, who have done nothing except for assault people and end up in prison, you can see who's done more for the world and who hasn't. And it seems to me that instead of maligning these people as the rich and the millionaires and billionaires, we ought to be celebrating them for the success stories that they are.
I'm with you on that one.
But I definitely do think that people should get to keep what they earn and that they don't owe anybody else anything that they've accrued by their own effort and intelligence. So I know that's a minority opinion in the country, but it is mine nonetheless.
Well, no, I'm with you on that. But you kind of dodged my specific question instead of going right at it, which, yes, people should have a right to work hard to make whatever they can make and let the chips fall where they may. That's what makes for the best outcomes for the largest number of people, rather than letting the plunderers take all the money and decide which of their friends they'll give it to.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. I thought that you asked me if people should have more simply because they were smarter. And to that, my answer is no, not just because they're smarter, but because they put forth the effort. And Todd, I would go so far as to say is the reason we should celebrate them isn't because that they allow for a greater standard of living for everybody else. That, to me, is a side effect. It's a you know, a beneficial consequence that we happen to get. But I think they should just be celebrated for their effort, for their intelligence, and for their creativity.
I like that, Lebo.
Well, the alternative is it implies that, okay, we'll let people succeed because they happen to benefit everybody else. But if they don't benefit everybody else, well, then Uncle Sam is coming for them.
Well, the trouble with coming for anybody is that we don't know what the contributions are, that everybody carries inside of them some riches that they can share with the world. And life's journey is about finding those riches to a large extent and opening yourself up to do the best things you can do. And that's what America is designed to do for the largest number of people, is to make it possible to discover your greatest self and then to monetize that in whatever way you see fit.
And all it takes, Todd, is for the government to protect people's individual rights and for everyone else to respect people's individual rights.
Yes, instead of what they're doing right now, which is to crush individual rights, claiming they love us so much that that's what they have to do.
And
take all our wealth away so they can decide who gets it instead.
Yes. Todd, may I give you a quick aside about COVID before you
Yes.
let me go? Well, I was on Friday, I was watching The View, and two of the co-hosts tested positive for COVID, so they had to get taken off the stage.
Yeah, when they were waiting for Kamala Harris to come in.
Yes. But after everybody on The View getting multiple tests over the weekend, it was determined that they didn't have COVID after all, if they were false positive. But it got me thinking, because I've been, you know, I've been pretty much on board, not with the sanctions about you have to do this and that, but I've been a believer in COVID. But, you know, when we get tested positive, for instance, here in the jail, they just pack us up and move us. We don't get to have multiple tests over the weekend like the people on The View do. And I would imagine most citizens don't either. It's one positive test and you assume you have it. So I'm just wondering how many false positives are actually out there.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming there's tons of false everythings.
Feinberg, that's probably a good way to go. When it comes to the government and the media, assumes that there's tons of false everything.
Michael Leibowitz from the Big House. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good day.
Wait, what's your website?
The caller has hung up.
Oh, prisoner. I think it's Prisoner Mike. Yeah, that's it. PrisonerMike.com. PrisonerMike.com. He's got a little place there.
He's busy.
To share stuff and raise money. He does. He's going on to his other radio bookings. 860-522-9842. Mark in Watertown, the everyday man. What's up, Mark?
Well, I'm trying to be the everyday man anyhow. I have an IQ of 110, so I guess I'm smarter than the average bear.
Congratulations. What are you doing with all that brain power?
Well, I've been thinking. I've been trying to be a critical thinker. You told me that I don't understand myself because I believe in capitalism and I belong to a union. So I've decided that I'm going to stick with the union and I can still be a capitalist way of thinking, a capitalist way of economy. And I think the workers produce profits. We should benefit from our profits, or in other words, a slice of the pie. I'm not saying everybody should belong to a union. If you want to belong, then you should belong to a union. But it is contradictory because I believe in a capitalist system, and I believe that there should be antitrust laws against capitalism and maybe some other laws put in there so things could be fair. We know that life's unfair, but maybe we can make some things fairer. But anyhow, you got me thinking, and I'm sticking with the union.
All right, so you're going with the anti-capitalist stance. Interesting, Mark. Thank you for that. Hi, you're on WTIC. Who's this?
This is John from Weathersfield. What am I, straight on? No.
You're right on the air. Well, you know, Anthony's a little busy. When he gets around
That's
to
fine.
It, he'll answer some phones. So I thought I'd get you right on.
On subject. Just responding to the question that you asked of Mike Leibowitz about whether you should be, just because you're smart, if you should get money. You should make more money. So there's a great book, Outliers, by Malcolm Gladwell. I'm sure you've heard of the author.
Yes, sure.
Yes. So in that, he was doing a comparison of you know, having an IQ of 130 and being a millionaire billionaire, as opposed to being 7 foot and being a basketball player. So, like, if you thought of like the top four basketball players of all time, all right, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I would say that, you know, you're probably going to say LeBron James, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Kobe Bryant.
But make the point.
So the point is, okay, so all these players, they're 6'3" to 6'6". But yet being tall is a huge advantage of being a basketball player. Just like being smart is a huge advantage of being rich. But just because you have an IQ of 130 does not mean that you're going to be an entrepreneur or be extremely rich. It's just like just being 7 foot tall does not mean you're going to be a great basketball player.
Yeah, I agree with that, certainly. Yes, your gifts don't guarantee your outcomes. Your effort, more than your gifts, does, is most people's experience.
Well,
that even somebody...
Plus what you've been through in life, your experiences and how you deal with those. Everyone that Leibowitz said, all of them, they never went to college. But they all had experiences when they were younger that made them what they are. And
I think that's absolutely correct.
Successful.
And there are all kinds of talents. I don't even like calling people smart as a way of judging people, because what is smart? You know, there's street smart, there's book smart, there's certain kinds of book smart, there's science smart, there's intuitive smart, there's artistic smart. Everybody's smart in some way. Everybody's got unique abilities in some way. And this idea of making life into a singular thing that you can analyze and break up into pieces and be able to figure out and judge and rate. Like somebody's, it's the same thing with skin color. Everybody's got a skin color. Everybody is a person of color. Right? Even the albino is the whitest of the white. Where does that leave all the other whites? I guess they're brown to the albino. 860-522-9842. We're late for a break, but let's take that break. Then we'll talk to Amy at the state capitol. A little rally going on. We'll take more phone calls on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Whoa, it is an active world. It is. There's a protest going on at the state capitol. Joining us to talk about it, Amy, calling from that action going on right now. Amy, welcome back to WTIC.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us what's happening there.
We have quite a crowd here today. Everyone started rallying around 8:30 this morning. Legislators from the Conservative Caucus have been coming out between their chances to debate on the House floor, and the rally is calling for an end to Ned Lamont's orders. It's day 564 of his emergency powers.
It's enough with the fake emergency.
It is a fake emergency. It's a fake emergency because he just issued $1.4 million campaign to bring people into Connecticut, the full color Connecticut campaign. So how is he asking tourists to come from all over the Northeast to converge on Connecticut for a full-color Connecticut, you know, seasonal campaign, and at the same time saying that we have an emergency that should extend for another 3 months?
It's very strange, for sure. So you guys are there till when today?
Till they vote. And it should probably be going on all day till 6 o'clock, so we want to let people know they have a TV set up, a monitor set up for us in the shade, so that if you want to, on the back side of the house, if you want to watch the house voting live, you can do that. You're allowed to go into the first floor of the Capitol building if you wear a mask, and you obviously can't be armed, and you have to follow the rules. But otherwise, we have tons of they're getting spicy. We have a lot of people, you know, all different groups right now, whether you want to, you know, be loud. We got people being loud. We got people inside. We got people on the lawn.
All right. Protests right now at the state capitol will be going on all day as long as the House goes on, which should be all day. And Amy, anything else we need to know?
Tomorrow, the Senate votes. So in order for this to pass, It has to pass in the House, and then it has to pass in the Senate tomorrow. So we're going to be here today trying to rally for the House representatives to do their job and get back to work and cancel the emergency powers. And then tomorrow we hope that the Senate will do the same thing. But we're watching these numbers carefully, and whoever doesn't represent we the people, we're going to be making sure that the entire state knows who they are. We're going to vote them out next year.
All right. Website, Amy.
On Facebook, you can find us under Parents Choice. We have a page, and we also have a private group. So I'd love for parents and grandparents and caregivers to find us there. CT Ram is here. Unmask Our Kids is here. You can find all those groups on Facebook is probably the best way to start, and then some of them have web pages.
All right, Amy, thank you so much. Good luck today.
Thank you.
All right, you can hear them rallying in the background. That's awesome. I love the idea of people actually getting motivated to go act. Yeah, so that's right now at the state capitol. Be going on all afternoon. It's been going since early this morning. 860-522-9842. Steve is calling from NBC Haddam. Hello, Steve.
Reporting live from the steps of the state capitol, this is Steve, NBC Haddam.
Wait, are you standing right next to Amy?
Yeah, she's on the other side of the lawn. It's a great time. We had a few hundred people here earlier this morning. Some folks had to leave. We're looking for more people to come up here. CT Liberty, John Johnson's up here. The folks are just having a great time making their voices heard. They are here to petition their government for redress of grievances and to peacefully assemble.
Wow, that was nicely done.
Thank you.
To redress their grievances. You pulled that language right out of your hat. So do you have any particular news, or are you just seconding Amy's report?
I'm just backing her up with another report live from the steps of the Connecticut State Capitol. More people can come down here. It's a beautiful, not a cloud in the sky here. Absolutely fabulous weather. You can yell at the building. The legislators will hear you through these thin pane windows. And if you really are up to it, earlier this morning, there was another empty bus rally in the front of the state capitol, just yelling at those empty buses driving by. So you can also join into that.
All right, Steve. Thank you for the update.
Getting loud here. Reporting live from the steps of the state capitol. Todd, this is Steve, NBC Haddam, signing off.
All right, there's Steve doing his radio thing. His dream is coming true, to be back in the biz. I think once upon a time he worked at a radio station. I'm not sure. But there's his little glory opportunity. Matt in Bristol. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Todd. So this might make one or both of them angry, but I noticed how weird that every time I turn on the show and Michael Leibowitz is on, I always think it's Mark from West Hartford until I hear the beeping. It's amazing how similar those two really are.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they're actually the same person playing two different sides of their own personality?
No, but I think they would be friends, you know, if I know that Mark has a problem with Michael being on, but I think they'd actually be friends. It's amazing how similar they are. One wrong turn or right turn here and there, and they could switch places, I think.
Well, that's how I feel about life to a large extent, especially the political class. I feel like most people holding public office, the higher the level of public office, the more likely this statement is true, I think. Most of them are borderline criminals if they're not fully ensconced on the criminal side.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true.
That's just my gut. I don't know.
All right, but Todd, thanks.
All right, thank you for the call. That's just how I feel about them. I see a lot of nefarious behavior going on amongst the political class. So I'm intrigued with horses, because there's now a national racist movement, an anti-horse movement. How do you feel about discrimination against horses? They're very upset. In Washington, in particular, against horses. Is this a horse song?
It's just the good, the bad, the ugly. You never heard that?
Oh,
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
It's just so
long ago. You know, I can't keep all these things categorized.
Oh, I'm the young one, and this is you should be the expert.
No, but you guys, you kids now, you watch every movie that ever was made. You're watching once a week.
Well, we have
so
streaming
you know every
services.
Line in the movies. Exactly. My tradition is to watch a movie when it comes out, and then, you know, every 30 years watch it again, maybe. Not necessarily, but there are one or two I've watched again, but not most of them. So I don't know the references, even though I know the movies. 860-522-9842. So I want to go through the horse thing. Why are they being so hateful on the horses? And we can talk about whatever else you like when we continue after news on WTIC.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Thanks for being here. WTIC Todd with you. After a delightful weekend, former producer Mike got married. That's why I was in South Windsor, Anthony.
Oh, wow.
For Mike's wedding party. It was top secret. I don't even know if I'm allowed to be talking about it now, but I have to, because it was just so much fun. So, that was cool. And it put me in a good mood. It's good to see the young guys happy and the young women ecstatic, which was the case. Anyway, I want to talk about horses. We'll get into that story, but let's get Bill from Granby in on the conversation. Hello, Bill.
Good Monday, Todd. How are you today?
Happy Monday to you. I'm rocking.
Thank you. Hey, I wanted to talk about the Durham Fair and some Jolly Ned and political sightings that happened over the weekend. So, as you know,
what was the first thing you said? The what fair? What did you say about a fair?
Oh, there were some political sightings. Jolly Ned was there, and so I've got the inside skinny because Middlefield is my hometown, and basically the fair is run by volunteers from Middlefield and Durham, many of whom are my friends mm-hmm. for the last 35 years. The fire department, okay. The RTC, the DTC, the Boy Scouts, the Lions, the Elks, all those folks, right? So yep. Jolly Ned shows up at one of the booths where my buddy has his daughter and son are running a robotics. They've got the high school robotics team there. And they've got some of their things that they've made are on display. Jolly Ned comes over for the photo op. He's hugging people, maskless. He's doing his thing. Doesn't buy even a dollar's worth of raffle tickets. Unbelievable.
Nothing. He just is a taker. He's a taker, not a giver.
Pats them on the head and patronizes them. The guy's a zillionaire, and he doesn't buy any raffle tickets.
He must have been trained by Blumenthal.
Well, there you go. Dick was there, too. Of course, the cameras were out, so he was there. He basically did the same thing.
Did he give any money to the raffles?
No. There wasn't a single politician that came by that my buddy made me aware of that bought any raffle tickets, but they all patronized the kids and took the photo op and did their thing.
How can they not? I don't understand how a politician should be taking tens out of his pocket and just whipping those things into the raffle bowl.
I agree. And Jolly Ned could do hundies. I mean, the guy's a zillionaire.
Well, you don't want to show off the disparity of wealth that you are responsible for all by yourself in the state. You know, they claim the disparity is too big in Connecticut. And it's all because of Ned.
Right. Well, anyways,
if he and Annie would just make New York their legal residence, the income inequality would be over.
Yes, sir. So that was the inside skinny on the Durham Fair from people that were there. They couldn't believe it. I'm not surprised, frankly, but yeah, missed opportunity by Jolly Ned, if you ask me.
Yes, there have been lots of all the reports have been exactly what you said. I hadn't heard the lack of donation thing before, because that's too dumb to believe. But the lack of a mask, I think, falls right into the pattern of what Ned's been doing, which has been just terrific. I mean, Ned has a way of finding his equilibrium. There is some expression that I've got in the back of my mind that I just can't formulate. But what is it? Something rises to its own level? Is that what I want to say? Ned sinks to his own level, no matter the circumstance. But his attitude towards the state is quite remarkable. One, is remarkable because it's so cynical. And two, it's remarkable because the devious part of it works. You can be utterly disdainful, openly disdainful, to the idea of following your own rules, for example, that there should be integrity, that there should be non-hypocritical behavior as part of your leadership. You can be openly rejecting of the idea that those rules should apply to you. You can be Jolly Ned. And you can go to an event that has rules that says you have to wear a mask if you're in this building and not wear a mask. And feel totally fine, even while you're out there pushing for mask mandates, vaccine mandates. He gets to cover all the bases, and it's almost like he knows there's no reporting. There is no news media that's going to call him to task for anything. So he can be as brazen in his contradictions of his own positions as he wants to be. 860-522-9842. It's a stunning thing. How can they operate, the political class, operate out in public without doing the most basic things that they say you should do? Follow the rules. Follow the COVID rules. They are following the science. I have to hand them that, because there isn't really any science right now to support wearing cloth masks with big holes. There was before, I think, but right now there isn't, not with the Delta variant. The Delta variant is supposed to aerosol, and a cloth mask won't do you any good. Maybe an N95 will. So they're just curious creatures, and Ned is the most curious at all because he's so utterly free of conscience. If you feel nothing of a sense of responsibility to the world, that's an amazing place to be, and he's just there. He's, you know, you throw money at it. Anyway, I want to get into this horse thing, because this is what the national government is doing with horses is mind-boggling. They are pleading guilty to horses being racist. Horses are racist creatures, according to the National Political Democrats.
We know that those images painfully conjured up the worst elements of our nation's ongoing battle against systemic racism.
He's talking about the horses. This is what the horses conjured for Democrats. So Democrats are so scared of being caught in the trap that they created about systemic racism being their responsibility, because it, by their definition, the Democrats invented, manage, and own systemic racism in the United States, and they're feeling edgy about it. So this is a reporter from the New York Times.
We know that those images painfully conjured up the worst elements of our nation's ongoing battle against systemic racism.
And in the days since, you've had both Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas.
First voice was Mayorkas. The second voice is the reporter.
Echo that sentiment, and the president himself.
To see people treated like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped, it's outrageous.
Now, this is just a fascinating piece of tape from the president of the United States. He's outraged over the racist horses. And he's the bottom line guy. The buck stops with him, and he's gonna discipline. I'm not sure if he's talking about the horses are going to be disciplined or the people riding them. But no, he doesn't mention anybody making decisions. He doesn't mention that the managerial class will be punished. He only wants to punish the horses and or their riders.
Echo that sentiment, and the president himself.
To see people treated like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped. It's outrageous.
That's outrageous. What the federal government did under the orders of President Biden is outrageous. Yes, Anthony.
Yeah, it's absolutely a joke that this is the kind of stuff that they cried and whined and everything. They just made the biggest fuss about it with Donald Trump in office. And I know the border, no matter what administrations in there, it's probably the hardest situation people have to deal with politically when you become president. But they aren't doing really much anything better than Trump was. And they act like it's no big deal. And Biden comes out like this, and I understand he's kind of saying, you know, it's partially my fault, we'll deal with this, but he's not coming out saying this is his administration, this is their approach, and clearly it's awful.
He's not really saying it's partially his fault, because he does it so quickly, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, he was asked specifically, don't you own some responsibilities? Of course I do. I'm the president. The buck stops with me, or something like that. But then he goes on to say, yeah, we're going to fire the horses, and the people who did this are going to be disciplined. He made it sound like he was going to turn right around from being him, the bottom line guy, to he's going to shoot the Homeland Security workers who were riding the horses.
Yeah.
And it shows how scared they are of their own voters, minority voters, who they work so hard to enlist into the Democratic Party under the phony narrative of there being compassion in the Democratic Party. And then the Democratic Party's there showing just what you said, Trump-style hate. This is what we heard, and you understated it. It wasn't just that they were high-pitched about it. They were in a five-year frenzy over how outrageous and unacceptable it was for Donald Trump to be president because of stuff like what he did at the border. What is the difference between what Donald Trump did at the border and what Joe Biden is doing at the border? They're trying to control the crowds.
Exactly.
All right? They're trying to deal with the situation. However, there is one difference. There is one difference between Joe Biden, one big one, Joe Biden and Donald Trump at the border. Ultimately, what Joe Biden decided was, we have to stick it to America. We have to stick it to America. We have to forget about norms. Remember, they attacked. That was the big rap on Trump, the violation of norms. Remember? Biden says, no, who cares about the norms? Who cares about doing what's right? Who cares about following the law? 12,000 people seeking asylum or illegally migrating into the U.S. and standing under that bridge in Texas, 12,000 were released into the country. 12,000 people released into the country. This is what Democrats do because ultimately they want those people in the country. They want
do not come.
860-522-9842. Quick break. We'll take some phone calls coming up on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
By the way, one of the things I'm wondering about, you know how there were supposed to be 300 or so bus drivers missing from action today? There was supposed to be a mini crisis or maybe a maxi crisis of buses just sitting in the lot with nobody to drive them and kids not being able to get to school. And like on the Current, the front of the Current, what does that story say? Let me get you this headline because I want to set the right tone for you here. The Current, as usual, writes a somewhat deceptive headline. But hey, you got to be thankful they've got somebody around still to write a headline. Really, because there's not much of that. Several school bus routes delayed as Connecticut drivers protest COVID-19 vaccine mandate, but most districts report no major issues. What does that mean? No major issues. What is a major issue? Who defines a major issue? When does it go from being minor? Several school bus. Hang on a sec. Does your browser ever do this where it just keeps moving? Like you start to go in a certain direction, it just keeps going. I go, hey, stop. And it ignores me. Several school bus routes were delayed Monday morning as drivers threatened to walk off the job rather than to comply with Connecticut's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for public employees. But most districts across the state appeared to experience no major problems. Can you qualify that statement for me, please, so I can understand what it means? Does that mean only 10% of the buses went without drivers or 20%? What does no major problems mean? How do you write a story like this where you use words to create no meaning? Governor Ned Mallott Governor Ned said Monday that the worst case scenario of several hundreds of drivers failing to show up for work had been averted. If you're basing it on lies from Ned Lamont, well, that's, you know, he's over dramatizing to make it look like somehow he solved a problem. What I suspect happened here is that lots of drivers didn't show up and that lots of parents knew or feared that lots of drivers weren't going to show up, and they drove their kids to school to mitigate the damage to their children's education. What are your thoughts on this? Thankfully, he says the overwhelming majority of school bus drivers showed up to let kids get back to school for in-person learning. Well, I don't know that anyone was planning on a majority of school bus drivers not showing up. But what is an overwhelming majority and what were expectations? The media has a responsibility not to write puff pieces designed to assist politicians who want to deceive voters. That's not their job, is it? They're supposed to be providing some clear, factual analysis of what's going on that provides assistance to those who are trying to understand what's going on. It's mind-boggling what's going on in this country. Do you notice that it's falling apart? It's falling apart. Our country is falling apart. It's just going into this netherland of mush. You can't even get a straight, simple story. How many bus drivers didn't show up at which school districts? All right, I know nobody works at the Current anymore. But then say, of the three school districts we were able to get on the phone, or the one, or I drove by this school bus lot and found there were 30 buses sitting there unused. You know, just create some clarity, please, instead of just soft language pushed by the governor. Terry in Bristol, hi, you're on WTIC.
Hey, how's it going? I don't know how many
drivers did or didn't show up. But I suspect a lot of drivers showed up without the COVID test, without being tested for COVID. Just let it fly. You know, come on in. No one's going to say nothing. Let's just get the job done.
I think that's true, too, yes. That's brilliant. I think you're absolutely right. A lot of drivers just showed up, ignored the mandate, and the school districts went along with them and the bus companies went along with them, so there were a lot of illegal drivers driving today.
Peaceful resistance, that's what I'm calling it.
Yeah, and that may be how it works out, because that's just like what the Biden administration is doing with the border. We can't stop people from coming in illegally, who, by the way, none of whom are vaccinated. Let's just send them off into the country and let them live happily ever after.
We're all doomed.
I think so. I didn't want to convince you quite so easily, Terry. What's that?
Well, no, come on. Be realistic. It's all over for us. I mean, come on. It's over. Just enjoy your lives out there. The left and the Marxists won. The one worlders, they've won. Just watch the world fall apart and have fun watching it, knowing you, most of your listeners, had nothing to do with it. So
yes, but Terry, when the world starts to fall apart in a visible way, where it's concrete and everybody can see it, don't you think people will rebel, and that the world might start, that our world might start getting smarter all of a sudden?
No, they're just way too powerful. They got too many friggin' weapons against us. And with all their algorithms and their sociologists, they got it all figured out. They know how this is all going to play out, and they don't give a damn about us. They know what they're doing, and it's all part of one big, nasty plan, and that's it. I mean, it's over, and everybody should take joy in the fact that they don't have to work so hard anymore and just watch the world fall apart and let all the young morons in the world just starve and be pitiful and spiteful.
Boy, yeah. Terry, you should teach a course in modern age, the optimism of the computer era. How about that for the name of your course?
I'm optimistic in my own life. But for the rest of the world, no way. Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to hear from you. And good to hear your particular brand of pessimism. I'm optimistic by nature. It's not circumstantial. So I tend to think that if you look at the history of mankind, we move in a direction where things get better. And we are still moving in a direction where things get better. Now, maybe America is on a downturn, but nothing goes continuously up. You can put your money in a great stock, and over 10 years it goes up enormous amounts, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have periods where it drops. And maybe we are all over. Maybe the stock is crashing, the American stock is crashing, but maybe we're just in a long upswing that has a momentary downswing, kind of like climate change. Maybe climate change is just a momentary downturn in the warmth of the planet or the cold of the planet, depending on where you are. Maybe the polar ice cap just happens to be melting because temperatures change, because we went through a long period of static temperatures and now we're going through temperature shifts. You know, it's hard to know what the master plan is, and it's too easy to feel overwhelmed by the forces of nature. But it may just be the forces of nature, the randomness of life, that seems to be taking control right now. We'll talk more. Stay with us. We're going to get a news update and get back to the show on WTIC.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.